welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Jean Marie is not with us today.
And I am Ron, and I am with us today.
Yes, you are. Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're going to be speaking with Nicholas Pelzer, host of the new podcast, Bottom Line Nursing. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you, Lita, and thanks, Ron. I appreciate you guys letting me come by today. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Great.
Great. It's good to have you. Let me just say that Nick was born and raised in Florida. He has his bachelor's degree in nursing, an associate's in nursing, and also an associate in fire science. Nick is currently an active duty Air Force nurse, which he has been for the last 9 years, and was an enlisted firefighter EMT before he got commissioned. He has been stationed at overseas as well as stateside assignments. Nick is a paramedic candidate and a BLS/ALS instructor. It's a very impressive resume, Nick. And before we start, let me just say thank you so much for your service to our country.
Oh, thank you, Lita. Thank you and your daughter for both your services as well. It's definitely a pleasure to serve, as I would say. I just appreciate you guys letting me come on. And my resume is really not that impressive, but thank you.
It is for us.
Yes, it is.
And we stand behind nurses 1,000%. On Facebook, actually this week, I put a meme up of all the the IV machines and everything set up and everything, and it says if you don't think a nurse is worth something, no doctor in the world can set up all this equipment. Yeah. And that's very true. You guys rock it.
Lita, I actually think I hearted that meme.
thank you. Well, Nick, I'd really like to know what inspired you to become a nurse.
So that is a great question, and one I actually really like telling. I actually started out not wanting to be a nurse a long, long time ago. I originally was going to plan on being a pilot in the Marine Corps, every little kid's dream in life.
Okay.
And then through an organization that you guys may or may not have ever heard of called Civil Air Patrol, I was in that program through my youth, and I praise that organization and love it. Definitely guided me through my childhood very greatly. I met a man in that program who is still to this day a great mentor of mine. He's a unregistered nurse by trade as well, who showed me nursing. And slowly but surely, I started wanting to get into medicine. And then I started taking more classes at school, health science related classes, anatomy and physiology. And then he said, well, I guess I'm going to go be a nurse. I think this is how this should happen. And then got my EMT license, fast forwarding a couple of years without boring you guys too much.
No, never boring. it's your show.
fast forwarded a little bit and got my EMT license, and then said, you know what, I'm going to leave military school because I went to Virginia Military Institute for a little while. Got my EMT license, said, you know what, we're going to go into the military because I'm going to go be a military nurse.
Excellent.
Then I enlisted. Again, like Ron said, I became a firefighter first. So I did that gig for the first while of my enlistment, which is a great job. Mm-hmm. Being a fire EMT is one of the greatest gifts that I've ever had in my life, and I still miss it every day. You get to be a giant kid every day. It's great.
You don't have to do the adulting, right?
No, I didn't have to adult. It was great. I got to ride the big red truck like every little kid's dream. Nice. Every day of my life. It was great. Through that, I then said, I'm still going to pursue nursing, started pursuing nursing prerequisites all through my enlistment, did what's called the nursing and enlisting commissioning program. And then I finally became a nurse.
Excellent.
And here I am.
Excellent.
That's great. That's
great. A great story.
Sure is. I'm curious though, why did you start Bottom Line Nursing? Why did you start that podcast? And actually, what's it all about?
So this is kind of funny, actually. You're going to laugh. First off, it's a very brand new podcast. It's got about 5 episodes.
Okay.
I started it predominantly because I felt like we were missing something in nursing. I feel like we need to do better in professional development amongst ourselves as a profession, which we already do good. I think we can do better.
That's the Air Force talking.
That's not wrong.
No, you're right.
But I actually got the privilege to meet a colleague in the military. She's also a physician who has her own podcast.
Okay.
And at one point we were working on, I think we were talking to college students about medicine in the military. And she was like, hey, I'd love to have you on the show and talk leadership and medical. And I'm like, sure. So I was on her show at one point, and then she's like, why don't you start your own? And I'm like, I never thought about that.
Right.
So 6 months later, a few legal phone calls and public affairs phone calls later to the military.
Okay.
I said, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a nursing show. And I just want to be able to give more professional development, mm-hmm. more knowledge, just more right. open talk and discussion about nursing amongst our profession. And especially coming from the military side of it, I think we can do better with talking about military nursing and military medicine too. So I use it kind of as a platform for all nurses across the board. And if for those who don't know the phrase bottom line up front, which is a military phrase, of course, bloof, that's where the bottom line nursing part
came. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Got it. I wasn't sure if it was like a IV line or, okay, got it. Good.
Yeah, so, and then I said, okay, we're going to do professional development. We're going to talk specialties. We're going to have interviews with guests. We're going to talk pretty much anything nursing you can think of.
Excellent.
Most recently, I did an episode with a colleague who's a flight nurse, except we were talking about the nonprofit youth organization that she founded and started.
Wow.
But a lot of her interest in that started in her nursing career.
Okay, great. Nice. Great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Nick, nursing is, like you said, it's a very broad field. What are some of the nursing specialties that we might come across as a patient?
Oh, there are so many, Lita.
I know. Actually, there are so many. I have met a flight nurse. I have met a surgical nurse. Actually, a surgical nurse is a very good friend of mine. But those are the only two nurses that I've actually met. So then what else is out there?
So there literally are hundreds and hundreds of different nursing specialties. So you touched on a couple, the surgical nurse or the operating room nurses, we call them sometimes too. There's post-op care nurses and pre-op care nurses, we call them PACU, that also deal with surgery.
Okay.
I work on a medical surgical unit, so that's a specialty all by itself. That you can specialize further in from what I currently do. You can work cardiac, so all heart-related things. You can work intensive care units, so your ICUs, which that alone branches into cardiac ICU, neuro mm-hmm. ICU,
wow.
And just goes down a rabbit hole.
Wow.
There's nurse anesthesia, so you can become an anesthesiologist as a nurse or a certified registered nurse anesthetist. And I probably said that wrong, but that's okay.
No, that's
it sounded good.
So they're basically, so they're the nurse version of an anesthesiologist. So you can do a clinical nurse specialist, which I work for two of them right now on my unit, really great guys, which is another advanced practice nurse. But they focus predominantly on clinical teaching and working on skills and running a unit clinically. Then there's geriatrics. You can get into that kind of population. You can work on mental health nursing, which that goes into, you can become a nurse practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
You can become, say, a family nurse practitioner, which is something you, I, or everybody here listening would probably go see potentially at, say, an urgent care down the street because right. you got a really, really bad flu.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, my eyes are opening now. So really anything in the medical field, just like doctors specialize in different areas, nurses will also, right? Would that be fair?
We could, yeah. Reasonably so. I mean, and it also goes as far as to the point where you can get onto the leadership side of the managerial mm-hmm. side and kind of step back from the clinical side to be a nurse manager for, say, right. you know, of a unit. So, I mean, we could literally sit and talk for hours on how many specialties we can get into. Of course, shameless plug, my personal favorite that I'm trying to go back into is emergency nursing. So.
Okay.
It's not shameless.
No, not at all.
So now
we certainly need them all.
Yeah, my next question is going to sound kind of, I guess, trivial after what you just said, but what are some of the different qualifications and levels of education and different licensing requirements needed to become a nurse? And I imagine, depending on what area you go into, it's going to be more specialized as well, right?
Absolutely. So not trivial at all. A very valid question, because a lot of people don't realize what I think goes on with becoming a nurse just at the basic level. So you start out with your basic registered nurse. So that itself has two educational levels. You can be a registered nurse at the associate's level. So I initially got my associate's degree as a nurse and got my registered nurse. So associate degree is your base level for a registered nurse. Backtrack slightly, prior to that, there is your licensed practical nurse or your licensed vocational nurse,
right,
which is about half as long as a program for your registered nurse, but it's not a degree program.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. What is,
sure.
I know what a licensed practical nurse is. What about LVN you mentioned?
Yep. So some states call it LVN or vocational nurse versus practical nurse.
Oh, okay. It's the same thing.
It's just semantics
between
the two. Yeah.
Gotcha. Thanks.
No, of course. So going past, you know, that phase and then becoming a registered nurse, then you move up into the baccalaureate level. So then I went on and got my bachelor degree in nursing. You can go forward even further again to the master's degree, of course, which that branches into about 20 billion different areas that you can specialize in. That would be the level where you'd start seeing your nurse practitioners at a baseline, right, which then that gets into the advanced practice nurse, your nurse practitioner, your clinical nurse specialist, your registered nurse anesthetist, things like that. So that's kind of like your baseline education. And of course, you know, long behold, if you want to be called a doctor, you can go get a doctorate in nurse practitioner and become doctor.
Wow, I never knew that.
Doctor nurse.
So you absolutely
can. I never
can.
Knew that.
I know a few DNP or DNP, doctor nurse practitioner. I know a few of them actually that are practicing.
Right. So really, it's limitless. I mean, there's so much education and so much you can do with it. You're not limited.
It really is. And, you know, to get to that point, we all take what's called the NCLEX, the National Council of Licensing Examination for the RN or the PN. It's a terrible test. Just throwing that out there.
I'm sure.
So that's the licensing credentialing, kind of how we get to become a nurse.
And then I have a follow-up question, if I can interject.
Sure, of course.
I am aware that different hospitals specialize in different things around the country. Not every hospital will really handle transplants the same way as another hospital, or heart disease some hospitals will put a big focus on a certain thing. Or you have Mayo Clinic who will cover or Cleveland Clinic, anything in the world, right?
Right.
What about schools for the nursing? Like, if you wanted to be a specialized nurse, are you really limited as far as where you go to school to get those extra certifications in order to fit into those pieces that you want to go?
That's a good one, and I actually have never looked at it from that perspective, so thank you for that. Now you're making me think.
That could be part of your next podcast.
Yeah.
it very well actually could be, because that's a great thought. As I sit and research master's programs for myself, I'm thinking about this now. So my thought to that, Lita, would be it really depends on what you're looking to do, and here's why. A lot of programs for, like, say, your master's degree, we'll use that as just since I'm searching for my master's right now.
Right.
We'll have, say, master's nurse education, and you focus on, like, education. So there's your specialty. Some programs will have your master's of science nursing, FNP, DNP, to get your nurse practitioner. But then others will have that specialty as an acute care nurse practitioner. So you're focused on your urgent care, your emergency room, things like that. But not every school that I've seen in my research currently to find my programs have all those.
Right.
You'll see kind of like a baseline that I see, education, some have most have NPs, And then probably I'd say some have a CNS program.
Okay.
So you'll always see a master's program at most, but you may not see some of those specialties like
I'm just wondering if they are, if the schools are localized near the hospitals that would need that.
That would be a great question.
Right. For instance,
I would be very curious to find that answer.
Right. Like one of our very first podcast, and the reason we created this podcast to begin with was my cousin had to get a liver transplant, and Gene and I were actually in North Carolina near Duke going to a rehabilitation program at Duke for Gene after she started walking again. And while we were there, we learned that Duke does more transplants than anywhere in the country at that time. This was 4 years ago. And I'm curious if Duke, if the schools, what's the school at Duke? Is it also?
I think it's Duke University Medical.
Okay. If their school probably would have a bigger influence on transplant nursing, because they do massive amounts of transplants at Duke.
That would be a great question.
That's what kind of triggered my... So that's something that you're going to have to work on.
I now have a research question because I'm going to go find that out.
All right.
Because I've never actually, Lita, tell you the truth, looked at it from that perspective. And I've been near quite a few specialty hospitals in my career so far. So that's actually a really good one.
All right, well...
Another one comes to my mind would be, and one you're probably familiar with, is Walter Reed.
Right, right, right.
As far as trauma surgery is concerned,
exactly,
and right, traumatic injury.
Sure. Or what's the one in San Antonio?
There's San Antonio Medical, and then there's...
there's an Army base down there that does a lot of critical care. I'm off the topic. All right, go ahead.
You must be talking about BAMSI.
So, yeah, I'll get it back. You've had a pretty varied background, a lot of experience. What has been your biggest challenge so far in your career, Nick?
Oh, man.
Keep hitting you with these, don't I?
What is it with Vaughn giving me all these ones? So the biggest challenge thus far, and there has been many, and there still continues to be challenges every day. I would have to say the biggest thus far was probably, wow, it's a toss up. I'm on one hand, I would love to say it was going to nursing school while on active duty.
Oh yeah, that would be hard.
Which was a chore, yeah, for sure.
What was your task as, that's when you were an EMT?
Yep, okay. Yep, I was still enlisted as a firefighter going to nursing school.
That would be hard, yeah.
So that was a chore.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other toss up would probably have to be, I would say, being a supervisor, actually.
Oh.
Because I know I just probably shocked everybody because it's not medical.
No, but that's okay. So you mean in the military? Or
Okay. In the military.
Okay.
And I say that thinking about a couple specific situations that I've come across as a supervisor.
Because you knew I was going to ask, right?
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm sure this is going down towards...
Right.
Trying to preemptively do this.
Yeah.
But I would say it probably, you know, some of the biggest challenges I faced was being, you know, a young non-commissioned officer as a, you know, an E5 staff sergeant in the Air Force, and having to be a supervisor of, you know, some of these really young 18, 17, 18, 19, depending on the year, airmen coming in, or troops, as I, you know, I call them my troops,
right,
and almost in adapting them to the military life and this, that, and the other. But where it got really challenging for me was then you have to adapt to knowing how to deal with their lives.
Yes.
Right. And it kind of tied to nursing for me a little bit, because I was going through school and I had had my LPN at the time. You know, I had a young troop come to me with thoughts of self-harm. And, you know, that definitely was a challenge to kind of navigate that in my own headspace. But also, what am I supposed to do here? How am I supposed to take care of him? So I honestly thought part of that being a supervisor and the things that come up with that kind of life tied well as a nurse for me, mm-hmm. but also it was definitely some of the biggest challenges in my career versus the trivial, oh, you know, me going to nursing school, oh, you know, my career goals and aspirations and this, that, and the other. It's nonsense. I cared more about the challenges that came up in my career with dealing with the people that I was in, that I was charged with.
Right. I can understand that.
Understood. Absolutely. So here's a little easier question, I guess.
With everything, that is no easy question.
No, I promise. With everything that you have going on, what helps you find a nice work-life balance?
I get asked this one a lot, and my wife tells me a lot, is there's only 24 hours a day. I get told that a lot. For me, I spend a lot of time doing physical training, going to the gym, going for runs, going on hikes, going running, you name it, I probably do it. I like going skydiving to relax too. It's always fun.
Look at Lita.
Skydiving to relax. Oh my God.
Yeah, the look of Lita's face.
Oh my God. Okay, listen, folks. You will never find me. You would never find me in a parachute unless the plane is going down.
Oh, come on, Lita. You know you want to go back to brag.
Oh, never, ever, ever. Never. No.
But so finding that balance is definitely a challenge for me because I do think there's more than 24 hours in the day.
Well, Ron and I are both recreational therapists, so we try to incorporate that question so that we can show people that there are things that you can do to help balance your life, and typically typically people will come up with something. Now, if I were you and I was in Florida, I'd be fishing every single minute of the day.
And if I were you when I were in Florida, I'd be scuba diving every single day.
Yes. So if I still lived in Florida, I love both of those hobbies, actually, because I do both of them.
Okay. Nice.
If I was still living in Florida, absolutely. I would go diving or surfing.
Okay. Yeah, I could never be a diver because I love to fish. I'd be down there. I'd be like, wait, I don't have my pole.
No, you'd be down there looking at him and saying, I'm going to have you for dinner tonight.
Yeah, that could be.
Later, that's when he takes spear fishing up.
There you go.
Oh, all right. All right.
Problem solved.
Win-win. Nick, what role have your family and friends played in your career?
Oh, the biggest. Absolutely the biggest. Nice. I would not be where I sit today. The Nick you see in front of you is not the Nick 10 years ago, I promise. I joke with people at work all the time. They're like, oh, you're so successful. You've done this, done that. And I'm like, nope. Friends and family got me here, trust me.
Yeah.
Okay. So they absolutely have played the biggest role in my career, though, all joking aside.
Good.
No, I mean, that's a common response from a lot of our guests. And you got to have the... Right. backing and support.
It's very good to have it, but there are some that don't, and that's a rough thing to hear.
Right, so we're glad that your family and friends were, you know, 100% behind you.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, and such as a quick example of how much of a role is, my wife is also a nurse as well. We both do nursing together. She was one semester behind me in nursing school.
Okay.
So if you can picture the husband-wife tag team going through nursing school and just pushing each other at school all day.
Mm-hmm. Is she also military? She
was. Mm-hmm. She's not anymore now. Okay. She's actually she does civilian nursing now, which she loves probably a little bit more, honestly.
Wait a minute. If she was a semester behind you, she would be able to get all the answers from you.
Yeah. Yeah,
common misperception. Everybody thought that.
I'm just kidding.
but really not.
No, that's good to have that kind of support.
Right. How did your military service help prepare you for your career in healthcare?
So I think a lot of it honestly ties pretty well together, especially now that I'm a nursing officer. I have to balance the two hats, which a lot of people think, oh, we're one or the other, but we're really not.
Okay.
So I think the time in the service definitely gets you set up for healthcare with prioritization, for one, which is something we use in nursing a lot. It definitely helps with the teamwork side of it, because obviously, as a lot of people realize, we all say nursing is a team sport. because it really is a team sport, mm-hmm. promise. Mm-hmm. But the service is no different. And I'm sure Lita can attest to this. If you don't have your teammates left and right of you, you know, downrange or, you know, in garrison, if you don't have your team with you, something ain't going to go right. There's just no doubt about it. And you're not going to get what needs to get accomplished. So in healthcare, it's no different.
Gotcha.
My medical technicians that are awesome, you know, they're EMTs or LPNs. I work with both right now. If I don't have them as my teammate caring for our patient, it's going to be a really bad day because I'm only one person. And the nurse for me, you know, on my side, I have certain responsibilities and tasks and things that have to get accomplished as the nurse that my technician can't do. So if I don't have a good teammate technician with me that day, you know, to take care of our patient, one, I'm either going to be running around like a chicken with my head cut off really desperately, or two, something's going to get missed and then I'm going to get, you know, give bad care. And that's obviously something I don't want to do ever for my patients. So sure. Teamwork, absolutely. The military couldn't prepare you more for it, honestly.
Okay.
Good point. Great point. excuse me. My niece, Vanessa, recently graduated from her nursing program this year. What tips and advice do you have for her and all the other new graduating nurses this year?
Learn as much as you can.
Now that they're graduated, learn from?
Yes. Well, so now that they're graduated, yeah. The learning is actually going to start, okay. Is what I tell new
okay.
nurses.
Okay.
And the reason being is because in school, you learn all the baseline knowledge. Mm-hmm. You learn all the baseline skills, X, Y, and Z. You cover all the basics. And then we come into the real world.
Right.
And we're out of that school world, which don't get me wrong, school world is great because it's controlled, it's clean. You have all the things to balance out things, and there's no liability attached to it. Now you're in the real world, and you're going to learn how to really take all that baseline and utilize it yourself in the real world. And that's the biggest thing I give to new grads, especially, and congratulations to your niece.
Thanks.
Lita, that's so awesome to hear, especially given the current state of affairs, that nursing school was a challenge.
Yeah, this is our first nurse in the right. family. I was very excited.
That is so awesome. I would tell her.
Yeah, I wanted to be a nurse when I first joined the military, but my recruiter said, no, you don't have enough college. You could be a mechanic. So I started out as a tank mechanic. But
nothing wrong with that.
I regress.
but I would definitely tell her now that she's out of school, it's learn as much as you can. Just be a sponge and take that time when she's precepting when she hears this, she'll know what I'm meaning. And on orientation, and just learn as much as she can and just start putting into practice what she knows. But also thinking outside of the box of that textbook, you know, that school test world where everything's perfect.
Right.
Because in case you don't know, in test world, everything is perfect in nursing school. Mm-hmm. You've got everything in the world. But in the real world, that's always not the case. And a lot of new nurses get hesitant with the, well, this is not what my book said. Well, that's okay.
Sure.
But we're in the real world now, and we're going to learn how to adapt to that.
Right.
And the military probably helped.
It's a baseline, college. I mean, it gives you a beginning. But again, every situation, everything is, you know, like Nick's saying, it's real world. It's not what's in the textbook.
Right.
But you do need the textbook stuff to have that.
Oh, absolutely.
Foundation.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for, was foundation.
Right.
Yeah.
So what advice would you have for people starting in a nursing program or those who are wanting or thinking about going into healthcare?
Prioritization is key.
Okay.
And I say that in the respect of nursing school is very challenging. It is also very, very busy. Through my associate program, I was in classroom or clinical 4 to 5 days a week, minimum. And that's 2-hour lectures on the low end, 3 on a bad day, and 8-hour clinical days twice a week.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
So 4 to 5 days a week, I was actively engaged on campus or at a clinical site.
Okay. So make sure that you are organized.
Yep, organized, life balance, mm-hmm. prioritization as
mentally
far as
prepared.
What has to get accomplished, right. Mental preparation for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. You have to be ready for it.
Good tips for success. Good. Okay. Good tips. Nick, what can we expect to hear on the Bottom Line Nursing podcast this year? What's next on your agenda?
So I've got a couple of things that I'm starting to work with some different people right now. The biggest thing that's going to come, I think, soon is we're going to start transitioning to a lot of the specialties that I wanted to touch on, like we kind of talked about earlier. I'm going to have a lot of specialty practitioners of different varying specialties come on to talk about the specialties, because a lot of people don't realize how many there are, is kind of what we were talking about earlier, and how to get to those specialties. And that's where I think that knowledge gap is that I was referencing earlier, is some people are just not sure the roadmap to get to these certain things. So we're going to ask the people who got there and say, how the heck did you do it?
Right.
Good.
And I want people to learn that.
Good.
One of the big things that I'm going to do, and I'll let the cat out of the bag for you guys ahead of time for my viewers, because I haven't told them yet, is I'm going to do an entire probably subspecialty series on how to become an Air Force nurse.
Oh, okay. Good. Excellent.
Because a lot of people don't know that either.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great advice.
For you, Lita, and my Army friends.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to tie that in with, you know, kind of how to become a military nurse.
Right, right. Excellent.
Oh, that's fantastic. Absolutely.
I love that. And what do you do? Oh, no, you already said. No. I early onset Alzheimer's.
No worries.
What do you keep in your personal first aid kit?
Oh, man. So I'm going to preface this ahead of time to cover my butt by what I keep in mind is not what everybody needs.
Okay.
I'm sure it's not some small little...
Is yours like, you know, the size of a duffel bag, a backpack? Yeah.
So ironically, mine is actually probably a small duffel bag, as I would say it.
Yeah, I would picture that.
We call it a jump trauma bag in the fire service. So mine entails a lot of advanced airway stuff. So I keep airway adjuncts and things like that to open people's airways, whether it be through the nose or through the mouth. I also keep some surgical tools such as a scalpel and a few tubes in place in case someone would need a surgical airway. I keep some suture sets, but at the bare bone basics, I start with the basics. I keep some things to breathe for people. So I keep a valve mask in place for CPR.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, keep one in your car, folks.
Yep.
Just throwing that out there. I also keep some basic breathing supplies. So I keep the airway adjuncts and stuff, like we said. And I keep a small bag mask in there for helping people ventilate their breath if I need to. And then the biggest one is I keep a lot of bleeding control stuff.
Okay.
I keep gauze, different sizes of gauzes. I keep trauma dressings, some abdominal dressings. I also keep, and it's the go-to thing that you'll ever hear, is I keep a tourniquet in my truck.
Okay.
I have two tourniquets in my truck at all times, one attached to my bag and one just sitting in my truck for a random day, because bleeding is what kills everybody, folks.
Right.
In case you don't know. So really the biggest things for like people that I tell at home, like their personal bags, just start with the basics. Start with some stuff for bleeding.
Okay.
You know, some, and even if it's just Band-Aids, start mm-hmm. with right. Band-Aids, some gauze, just a couple dressings, some tape. For mom and dads with little kids, for cuts, Neosporin always works great. But I always recommend people to keep a tourniquet and a bag mask for breathing and things of that nature. But yeah, my personal one gets a little advanced.
I'm sure. I thought it would be fun. Yeah, I'm trying to.
Oh, picture, no, I love it.
I'm trying to picture this in my mind, and I can kind of picture it. Well, as a mechanic, you know, you open the toolbox and you got and I'm picturing yours is just as filled. So that's great. Thank you very much.
And I know he's going to hate me when I follow up with this next question.
Okay.
But, go for it.
If your first aid kit is the size of a duffel bag, what do you bring with you when you go on a medical appointment as a patient?
Not my medical bag.
Do that at home.
So it's kind of nice for me, obviously, being in the service. I go to, you know, the military medical centers
right.
for most of my appointments. I actually currently only have to bring my ID card, which is kind of nice.
All right.
And
because everything's electronic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good.
So joke's on you.
All right. Good. What is the biggest misconception people have about nurses?
Oh, there's so many. I think I say it extremely jokingly, but there's a lot of misconceptions about male nurses.
Still?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If it's the question, if it's one of the things I'm thinking of, Lita, then yes, that misnomer is still out there. Right, I've been asked that a couple times, actually.
I met my first male nurse when my daughter was born. So 40, I don't know, God, a long time ago. And I would have thought by now that would have been nothing.
It's better. Wow. It's better. I will say it's better that I work with a lot of male nurses, and I would possibly chalk that up to a bias about the fact that I work in the military setting. So we have just predominantly males.
Sure.
But we'll say I've been asked some interesting questions from patients about being a male nurse. But in general, misconceptions about nurses, I think a lot of it honestly boils down to a lack of knowledge or the misconception of what we really do or what nurses can and cannot do, which I think is a big misconception too, because there's a lot of nurses who you get the, oh, you're just the nurse, you're not the doctor. Well, right. Arguably that nurse probably do a lot of things the doctor can't.
Right. Or won't.
Or won't, for that matter, but the nurses will.
And probably saved a little money from medical school.
I mean, really, that's the best thing in the world. It's like, I don't have to pay the med school bills, but I get to do a lot of cool stuff.
Right.
So I think there's still misconceptions, I think, across the board. I think, unfortunately, the current state of affairs over the last year probably helped dispel a lot of that the just nurse thing kind of is hopefully a thing of the past, knock on wood.
I'm trying to picture in my mind, I watch Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, God.
I know. Okay, you know, I'm addicted. But I'm trying to picture, there are male nurses, but are there other programs, are there other TV shows, movies, et cetera, that will raise male nursing to a level that will help advance the career?
That would be really curious, and I'll preface that by, I watch Grey's too, shamelessly, don't worry.
Okay,
it's hilarious.
Good.
I absolutely do. I got a little upset a while back about it.
Oh, don't wait. Don't say anything because I did not watch the last season yet.
Neither did I.
Okay. Yeah, I started over again.
I see this on the script.
Where it's not. I'm going through reruns and I'm up to season 10 right now, and I'm not going to watch the last season until I go through it this last time. But there is a couple of shows that are taped here in Chicago.
Chicago Fire, Chicago Med.
Right. Yeah. And I'm just curious if I should maybe write a letter to them and say, you know, if you're not already doing it, could you help male nursing by giving them I guess I should watch the show first before I tell them what to do.
I mean, it's it's the stereotype. But, I mean, in my job, I've been there 20 plus years. We run 3 shifts of nurses, and 20 plus years we've had 1 male nurse.
But we're not near a military base. Chicago doesn't have, well, Great Lakes, but that's it.
Ironically, you're not too far from where I'm stationed, so that's kind of fun.
Where are you?
I'm stationed in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, okay. I think if you're closer to a military base, you will see more male nurses.
I would say 100%. As far as the shows are concerned, I think they could do a better job of bringing up males. Grey's has a few. I actually, now that I think about it, I haven't seen 1 male nurse on Chicago Med.
Okay.
Now that I think about it. Okay. So please write that.
I think I will. I haven't watched the show, even though it's taped right here in our city. I don't know. I get too scrambled with shows.
I think it's sad, and if you guys feel the urge that this needs to be pulled out later, by all means, take it out. But the biggest, I think, male misconception is, how many times do I have to get asked how my husband's doing before they realize I'm married to my wife?
Oh, wow. Wow. That's another misconception.
I've gotten that one a few times. But again, I say it jokingly because I think it's hilarious, but it is a big misconception amongst male nurses.
That's a shame.
Wow. Yes,
that's a shame.
Yes, it is.
All right, who's got the next one?
Gene, but so I guess it's
Gene,
you.
Get up out of bed.
I feel bad because I took everybody down a really dark rabbit hole.
No, that's okay.
I mean, we do like to have fun on the show. I mean, obviously, serious topics, but if we can make it a little lighthearted, you know, we try to enjoy ourselves a little bit and hopefully have our guests enjoy themselves, and you seem like you're having a pretty good time.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so, all the episodes I've listened to, you guys seemed like you've had a great time. So
yeah, we
like
do. We do.
I tell you, being with these two is worth the price of admission. I told them I should take it on the road because they've got such a good show.
Ron really gives us a dig quite a bit. All right.
Oh, geez.
Gene was going to ask you, let's say I'm in a hospital, and this is going to sound weird, but when should I push the call button? I always feel guilty asking for anything like help to the bathroom, help with my food, help getting dressed, more ice, more water. When do you push the call button?
The correct answer is anytime you need your nurse.
Okay.
However, I actually think this is kind of a cool question, and give Jane my thanks for putting this one on here, because I really do, and I hope she feels better. I do, Lita.
Thanks.
This is actually kind of cool for me, because I'm thinking about, like, we call it call bell fatigue in the nursing profession, because it's a real thing, I promise.
I'm
100%.
Sure. I'm sure.
I have gone to sleep with call bells ringing in my head before. but it is a real thing, because I actually have had patients who have told me they felt guilty about calling. But then when I go see them and, you know, ask them, you know, this, that, or the other, how's your pain? How's your breathing? You know, important things, no big deal. And then something's wrong, but they said they felt guilty about calling me. And then it unfortunately turned into like a care issue that I had to deal with and make sure that they were okay. So I always tell people, I'm like, you absolutely call me if you need me. I will never get mad with you for calling me when you need me, but I would just graciously ask people when they're in the hospital in that kind of setting, please remember, don't abuse it. And I tell my patients, you're my only patient as far as you're concerned, because I get the, I'm sorry, I called you again, blah, blah, blah. I know you're busy, which I appreciate the fact that they're thinking about that. But, you know, my job is to be a nurse. You know, it's not like I'm going to go anywhere. I'm not going to leave. You know, I tell them, don't feel guilty about it. You're my only patient. When in reality, I have five others.
Right.
So I would ask that, you know, people just try to keep in mind if they're in the hospital, when they're in the hospital, or when you're with family in the hospital, that nurses and staff really are running all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a shift where I'm not bouncing from one room to the next, to the next, to the next. 90% of my shift. So while we absolutely want you to call us, try to just have some extra patience when you can, if it's not something that's a life-threatening issue.
Sure.
Say, you know, you need more ice or water. Well, unless that is absolutely going to kill you that second, which 9 times out of 10, it's not. Try to be patient if you call and it takes a few extra minutes, you know, maybe 2 or 3, because I've had people, you know, snap at me over 2 minutes to get to their room.
Yeah.
Which, believe me, we try to get really fast to rooms. We really do. But I would just say it's not weird at all. Don't feel guilty, because that's what we're here for. And sometimes it can actually turn into an issue medically for somebody if you don't call me sooner than later. It's something you may not be thinking about, but I am.
Right, right. It brings me back to an event that happened to me probably 40 years ago. I was in the hospital. And I pushed the call button because I felt like I could not breathe. I was like consciously thinking, well, obviously you're breathing because you're alive. And I'm trying to concentrate on my breathing. I'm trying to figure out what is wrong with me. I could tell that something was wrong, but I couldn't tell what it was. So I pushed the call button and nobody came. And I'm looking at the clock. We didn't have cell phones back then. I'm looking at the clock. I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's taking forever. And maybe I was panicking. So I called my doctor from the phone in the hospital. I called my doctor at home. And I said, I can't breathe. He said, you're in the hospital. I said, I know I can't breathe. He said, Lita, you're breathing. I said, I feel like, and what it turned out to be was my blood pressure had dropped so low that everything was kind of slowed down from a medicine that they had given me. Maybe it was morphine or something, but I felt really like I was dying, and I didn't know what to do because the nurse wasn't coming, and I almost felt like a lead weight, like I couldn't move, I couldn't do anything. So the doctor called the hospital, and the hospital called the nurse, and the nurse came in. So I'm sure that the nurse got reamed, but since that event, I have always been cautious on only call the nurse when I want, or when I really, really need something. Don't call them when, because I'm thinking, well, I might have been calling, the nurse may be with somebody else that's even more critical than me. So what do you do? I mean, it's kind of like don't you think there should be like a two-level call system, like a CNA call button and a nurse call button, or a volunteer call button just for ice or water and another call? You know what I mean?
But a lot of times, right. I mean, I don't mean to interrupt, but a lot of times when people are in the hospital, they want to be taken care of. So it's an emergency. So even if they have the different levels, I think, in my, just my opinion, yeah, but I think people are going to say, this is for me and it's emergency, so I'm going to the highest level.
Yeah.
They're both 100% valid points. And Lita, let me just say, as a nurse, I'm sorry that you had to experience that, because I don't agree with how that happened personally. Obviously, I wasn't there, so I can't speak to the nurse's mindset that evening. But what I will say is things have gotten a little better, I think, over the years in time and technology. So our call bell system is actually like a microphone system on a phone.
Oh, okay.
So when they call me, I can actually, you know, speak to them and say, whoever, yeah, what do you need?
Right, right. That's true.
If the words coming out of your mouth to me on the phone or I'm having trouble breathing, trust me, I'm going to come to your room really fast.
Right.
There's somebody going to walk into that door in about 2 seconds flat.
Right.
So I think that's helped a lot because, you know, the older call bell systems, you couldn't talk. It was just push button, beep goes off.
Right. Yeah, right.
That's what we use.
Now it's both. So when our call bell goes off, I get to pick up a phone. I can see which room it is already. So if it's one of the rooms that I'm, you know, taking care of that evening, I already know who it is. And then they can actually verbally tell me or attempt to tell me, it depends on the day.
Sure.
What is going on.
Okay.
Which helps us assess, I won't say it helps us assess how quickly I need to get there, but it assesses the urgency of, oh, it's just water, we'll be there in a second, not a big deal, no one's going to die over it. Or it's, you know, Lita, yourself, that situation, which you probably got some pain medication that probably dropped your blood pressure, is my guess.
Yeah, and I have low blood pressure anyway, so that it probably just put me over the edge. All right, well, thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to go down another rabbit hole.
No, but it's definitely, I think it's a valid thing, because you're right, Lita. There are times where, and again, I won't speak for every nurse in the country, but like every profession, we do have bad apples.
Right.
Sure.
I won't sugarcoat that. There are absolutely, we have bad apples who sometimes the compassion and empathy that should be there may not be to the level it is. And I won't say that I'm the perfect compassionate, empathetic nurse, because believe me, there was a lot of times at the nurse station where there are things that come out of my mouth about some patients that aren't exactly compassionate or empathetic.
But you're human. And you're dealing with that stuff on a daily basis. Yes.
And the only way you're going to be able to survive mentally is to be able to distance yourself from that every so often. So we understand that. Don't worry about that. Don't take that personal.
Yeah. No, it's,
I try not to, but I just, you know, it's one of the things that I, as a nurse, I think giving the best care we can. And again, that's kind of why, back to the starting the podcast, for me, you know, bottom line, it's just wanting to get out more about our profession in the big picture for everybody, not just nurses, but everybody in general, which is why I was so excited when you guys said, hey, can you come on? I was like, sure, absolutely, I'll come on.
Very cool. Yeah, it's been great having you on. The information that you've given has just been amazing and very pleasant to talk with and have the conversation with. We thank you, and also for your service to the country, like I said at the beginning. Is there anything that you would like to leave us with at this time?
I really first just want to say thank you guys for doing what you do with Podcast DX, because I've actually learned so much about different disease processes listening to you guys. So it's actually helped better me as a nurse too.
Love it.
Because there's some of the random ones on there and I'm like, what is that?
Right.
We say that too when we're doing the research. We're like, I've never heard of that.
I mean, you know, first, really just thank you guys for doing that, because it's definitely, I will say, been educational for me. Even just the short snippets about, hey, this, that, or the other. Oh, that's what that is. That's what that patient goes through. This is what I should look for.
Right.
Helped me as a nurse get better at what we do and teach other nurses too.
Love it.
But, you know, really just thank you guys. It's been a pleasure. Whoever is listening, if you ever, you know, want to learn more about nursing, one, check out the podcast. Two, you guys can feel free to put them in touch with me however you all want. I have no problems about nursing, nursing school, military time, firefighting time, EMT time, paramedic time. I love trying to bring more people into our profession, because it's an awesome profession and it's probably the best joy of my life to do. So I can't say that enough, and just thank you guys so much. It's been so much fun.
Great. Well, we're going to put links for your show on our webpage. For each guest, we build a page and we'll put links, you know, for that guest. So we'll definitely have links for your Bottom Line Nursing podcast on there. And if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And also, we are currently looking for guests to interview in September of this year. So, if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, please follow the link on our website and schedule an interview with us.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review on wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always keep the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider top of the line. And any questions that you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment before undertaking a new healthcare regime, never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.